Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. As you listen, we pray God's blessing be over you and that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Now let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison.
Today, I want to continue on. We have a vision here at Christian Ministries Church every year, and we shared last week that vision. It's the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. We've got to know what our vision is. It's the kingdom of God. When you walk in these doors, you're going to see Matthew 6:33, the kingdom of God. It's important to know what we are to put first. And we're to seek it out in every area of our life. It's to permeate our lives. If you weren't here last week, the greatest day we live in of technology allows you to not miss the vision, and you can go online and you can listen to every word that was spoke into your life as a church to what we're going to share in agreement. And I'm giving you right now some homework. If you weren't here, you got to listen to it. You got to listen to last week. Merlin, wave at everybody. See Merlin right there in the middle. Merlin's wife, Jill, she will help you if you, well, I don't know anything about the internet. I don't know anything about social media. I don't know how to listen to that. Talk to Jill and she will guide you through it. If you still have and want a CD, we will make a CD for you of the vision from last week. But it is imperative that you listen to it. Yeah. We can't get in agreement and on the same page unless we're heading in the same direction. How can two, Amy says in Scripture, how can two walk on the same path unless they're in agreement? So we're going to walk down a road this year as a church in 2022, and we've got to make sure we're on the same road. The title today is Understanding the Kingdom of God. We gave the vision last week, and we've got to make sure we have an understanding. We've all heard over and over again, kingdom of God. The Bible speaks cover to cover from the beginning to the end on the kingdom of God. And we're all familiar with the phrase, but the question today is, what is it? Well, what is it? Acts 1, verse 3. During the 40 days after he suffered and died, he appeared to the apostles from time to time over this 40 days. And he proved to them two things, that he was alive. Well, one thing he proved to them that he's alive, and the other thing is he talked to them. And what did he talk to them about? He talked to them about the kingdom of God. I just think it's real important as we're seeking first the kingdom of God. We have read it, we have saw it, and that Jesus talked about that after his resurrection out of the grave. I think it's important that we know what it is. It's important. And we've not spent a whole year on this. And I just think right now with what's going on in our world, we've got to know more about it. We got to know about the kingdom of God. This is what Jesus focused on, and this is what Jesus told us to seek first. So this year, let's begin a pursuit. Let's begin with, in January, an understanding of the kingdom of God. Now, last week, I gave this definition of the kingdom of God. And it tells not only what it is, but what the kingdom of God does. It is the supernatural government of heaven. The kingdom of God is the supernatural government of heaven, and it carries power and authority to override the curse here on earth that came through Adam's disobedience. The kingdom of God has power and authority for your life. Wouldn't you want to know what it is? I got to know what it is because I know it's a supernatural government. All right, that's a great definition, but after some study and research of a simple definition that really brings us more into a concise and simple understanding, the kingdom of God really is just this. It's the rule of God. It's the rule of God. The rule of God. It began in the Garden of Eden with the creation and the entrance of mankind on this earth. Here's what you got to know. God calls the shots in the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, he calls the shots. Life lived here on earth according to his will and him calling the shots. That's what the kingdom of God is. Wanting to give mankind a choice as to which rule they wanted to live under is where your choice comes in. So God gave an option of whether or not you wanted to live under the rule of his kingdom or your own. It's simple, except for it's so deep we miss it. It can be real simple and deep at the same time. Very, very quickly, the world became very wicked. We read about the world was so wicked, God was sorry that he created us. Now, you go back in the Old Testament, you read this, everything's so wrong, and God just said, I'm sorry I created you. Genesis 6, 7, and 8, we see the great flood. This flood takes place because there needed to be a restart. So Noah restarted everything. The problem is Noah and his family had the Adamic sin nature, if you will, of what messed this whole thing up to start with. And so they come through this with still a wrong seed and life in a fallen world, then becomes all sin and evil and wickedness again. If you're living in the United States of America, there was a time where you didn't really always see this, but you can't deny it now. I'm talking about wickedness, sin, a fallen world. See, we go back to Genesis and we see some of this and we go, okay, Genesis 12, the Lord found a man of faith. A man of faith in Genesis 12. A man that God chose. The Lord cut a covenant with him and his name was Abram. Now we read about him and see, the thing is, everybody knew that Abraham's God was Jehovah. They knew who his God was. And to be his God, God said that you're going to have so many descendants because you've made me your God that they'll be not even countable. You can't even count them. To get into that, I just was like, okay, we've got to be under the same God Abram was under. Yeah. I mean, I see that covenant that he cut with them and he said, here's all your descendants that are going to follow my kingdom, what I've asked to take place. And see, they were living life here on this earth, and they were trying to bring his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. They got this understanding. I've got to have the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. And his descendants saw that and were like, we're going to get this. And so then we read through 4,000 years of history. From the time of Adam to Jesus, through 4,000 years of history, the kingdom of God was seen as a literal physical ruling. Overthrowing the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Jebusites. You just keep reading about all these sites. And they kept being overthrown. And why were they being overthrown? Because we needed the kingdom of God to rule. And that's what they saw. And they kept that God's people would overthrow them and they would rule the land. And that's what they saw as the kingdom of God. Now, the kingdom of God was led by King Saul, King David, King Solomon. And you see that when these guys were in rule, you seen God's people start to really flourish and wow, what's going on here? And then wham, there'd be an overrule. Well, I thought kingdom of God was at hand. I mean, all this was going on. This is all before Jesus, but we saw the kingdom of God as real. Then the Babylonians take over ruling and they defeat the Hebrews. This is a quick history lesson in case you've heard different parts of this story. The Assyrians take over. Oh, that was horrible. Then you jump forward in the Persian world empire, then the Roman empire. Through the rise and fall of four different world empires, God continued to teach his people. He just kept on and on teaching the Hebrews. God used the events. He used the prophets. He used life to teach about how the kingdom of God should operate. When other people would be in rule that were not the kingdom of God. Now, the Roman Empire is ruling the world, and an angel appears to a young girl named Mary. I really hope that everybody knows this story. So this angel appeared to a young girl named Mary and told her that she was pregnant with God's son, and her son would be the king of Jacob's people. And his kingdom would never end. a man named John the Baptist appears. And Mary has birthed Jesus, and he walks up, and John the Baptist points over at him and says, "Repent." That's what John the Baptist was saying all the time. When you read scripture, repent, repent, repent. And he yells, "Repent." And he says, "The kingdom of God is at hand," and there's Jesus. Well, here's what I can tell you. Excitement, anticipation was at an all-time high. The Messiah had showed up, and they were going to lead a revolt. And they were going to get the kingdom of God established again here on this earth. See, that they wanted the kingdom of God in control because that's all they knew had been taught by God's people, is that the kingdom of God is how we live. And so they thought, we have to overthrow the kingdoms that have taken over God's people. And so they kept waiting for a new ruler. I mean, at one point it was King David. At one point before that was King Saul. And then moving forward, King Solomon. I mean, all these guys, now we need the next one where you can know the Messiah is coming and we're going to get things back in control here. The kingdom of God's going to work again. See, this wasn't new to anybody because centuries, four world empires, the rabbis had taught, the prophets had foretold, a Messiah is coming to reestablish God's people. And they understood it like this. Now hear this. There would be an overthrowing of the empire, the government that was ruling. And the kingdom of God then would once again rule. Jews are still looking for that. They're looking for an overthrow of the government and that the kingdom of God rules again. Here comes Jesus on the scene 2,000 years ago. Everybody's going, "Oh, man." And he's proven to everybody his power. Blind start seeing, lepers healed, 5,000 fed. He walks on water and everybody talks about it. He calms a storm just by standing up and telling it to calm. He calls Lazarus out of the grave. I mean, all these things are going on and they're like, it's no surprise when the mother of two of the disciples asked Jesus, "Hey, when you set up your kingdom right here, can my two boys rule and sit on the throne with you?" See, we read that story and we don't think about it pertaining to the kingdom of God, but what mom was asking is, listen, I know this is getting ready to happen. We're going to establish the kingdom of God here on earth. And for generations, God's people, Abraham's descendants, Hebrews, Israelites, Jews, so full of preconceived ideas about the kingdom of God, they just could not and they would not and they did not listen. John 18, verse 36 says, Jesus said, "Guys, my kingdom is not of this world." He kept trying to tell them. They were so full, come on, you got to hear this, of preconceived ideas. And Jesus was not talking about a place in the physical. He was teaching about a place in the supernatural. He was teaching about a place in the spiritual. The kingdom of God ruling in the heart of man. Jesus continually taught about the heart, the condition of the heart, the heart in the matter of your situation. What's the heart in this? Jesus would pray, "Guys, you've heard what the law says. I know the law says this, but I say, what do you think in your heart? What's going on in your heart?" And when Jews read this, Isaiah 61, and when they read it, Isaiah 61, verse 1, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. For the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim that captives will be released and prisoners will be freed. He sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come and with it the day of God's anger against their enemies." I'm telling you, the kingdom's coming and it's going to be established, and that's what they believed. But they had a preconceived idea of how it was to be fulfilled. Now, John 6, they had just seen Jesus feed 5,000. Verse 12 says there was 12 baskets left over. In John 6, let's just stop there a second. 12 baskets left over. I don't know if you ever go to a restaurant, and I've been around some of you at a restaurant, and I know you do this, so some of you do. But you order more than what you can eat because you know there's a to-go box. Right? Why do we get a to-go box? Because we're going to keep enjoying that meal. I just remember, and I think about that every time we get a to-go box. Jesus had 12 baskets left over. And I can't help but think he had some to-go baskets. And he said, here's what I want you to know. It's not going to end. This meal is going to keep on and on and on. So maybe next time you get a to-go box, that'll kind of let you realize God's blessings do not end. John 6:14. When the people saw him do this miraculous sign, they exclaimed, surely he is the prophet that we've been expecting. Acts 1, verse 6. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, you've got to know this is after his resurrection. This is during the 40 days. Hey, Jesus, we really want to know. Lord, the time has come now for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom. They still missed it. They were missing it. The problem here is John 18:36, Jesus' word to Pilate, my kingdom is not of this world. How many times have I got to tell y'all? My kingdom is not of this world. Now, I don't know if he said it like that. I'm just telling you. I don't know how he said it because I can't read the voice inflection. But however, my kingdom is not of this world. I don't know. But he's trying to get them to see something they weren't seeing. My kingdom's not of this world. Mark 12:17, Matthew 22:21. Give to Caesar what's Caesar's. The things that are Caesar's. Who's Caesar? He's someone of the world. Give the world what the world's talking about. I understand that. But give God the things that are God's. Everybody always uses this just associated with taxes. Letting people see that there was a separation is what Jesus was trying to do here. There's a separation from the world and the kingdom of the world and the kingdom of God's world. You can give to Caesar what Caesar needs. I'm not arguing that point, but I'm telling y'all are missing it. Give God what's God's. We've got to operate according to the kingdom. Let people see there's a separation here. Jesus had no intention of setting up an earthly kingdom. Otherwise, he'd have said, give God what's God's and he'll make sure Caesar gets it. Because that's what, no, what he's saying is Caesar's here and I'm here. The world's here and I'm here. Well, aren't we to bring God's kingdom? Yes, you are, but I'm not going to overthrow this one. What I'm going to do is give you something different. Getting ahead of himself. Regardless of what Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. Give God what's God's and give Caesar what's Caesar's. This went on year after year after year. And they're like, yeah. We saw you feed the 5,000. We saw the blind eyes. We are the ones that saw you, Jesus, walk on water. We know what you're capable of. Come on, let's get it. Let's go. Come on, the kingdom's coming. Here we go. The kingdom's coming. And they're just, I'm sure they're thrilled. He just came out of the grave and he's got power now, even more than what we saw here. Man, he just came out of the grave. He came back to life. We're going to get it. Israel is going to be reestablished and we're going to see God's kingdom rule right here on earth. Do you see the excitement? I'm just trying to show you how thrilled they had to. Let's go. The Roman Empire, man, they don't have a chance. We got this. Let's set up your kingdom. Come on right now. And Jesus continues to teach. It's not a physical kingdom ruling. It's a place in the spirit within you where you are under God's rule. You are. Jesus taught, and the other New Testament writers, they wrote, it's not us overthrowing the Roman rule, it is overthrowing the carnal nature of man. It's not about us overthrowing the government, it's overthrowing the nature of man. We aren't ruling according to the right rule. Oh, let me breathe here for a second. It's a place you live where, yes, you want to do this, and you just fill in the blank whatever this is, but you say, nevertheless, not my will, but yours. See, nevertheless, not my will, but yours. Jesus brought us a life to be lived in the kingdom of God that is a life that is lived under his rule. Now you say, Pastor, we know all of this because we are Christians. All right, well, let's follow through on this thought then. Jesus crucified on a cross, not the Messiah that they were looking for. And when the veil of the temple was torn from top to bottom, it opened up mankind's entrance into God's presence that they'd never had before. And their thinking then should have been forced to change. But we live in a world where we've seen Christians not change their rule. See, Jesus gave all to all. No Jew, no Gentile difference. No man, no woman difference. Even in the church, we try to make this. Women can't do this. No race difference whatsoever. No gender preference at all. There was a day and time in our country where all the blacks had to go to the back of the line. Now we're watching whites go to the back of the line. What I'm telling you, under the kingdom of God rule, that's not how it operates. And we're all mad about it. And I don't think that there's anything wrong with being mad about it. But what we're mad about is that there's a separation, but we're looking at the wrong rule. Of course it's going to be messed up here on earth. But the kingdom of God's rule in the heart of man, all who confess with their mouth and believe in their heart are given citizenship into the kingdom of heaven, and we need to operate under a new king and new Lord. A new life lived in the kingdom of God. Now, I got to tell you today, as we're trying to understand this, this is very difficult for an American citizen, who I believe I'm talking mostly to today. You're looking around. Now, I'm just talking about if somebody's listening to this on podcast. I know that I'm talking to American citizens here. And if not, you've done a real good for a long time concealing that. So, but this is difficult for us American citizens in this room. We ask Jesus in our life, forgive me of my sins, wash me clean, give me a brand new start, and we're all in for that. Because we want to go to heaven. And we get that concept and that idea that his kingdom's going to be awesome when we get to heaven. Galatians 2:20. My old self here on earth, that's still living and breathing right now, my old self here on earth has been crucified with Christ. And it's no longer I who live, but it's Christ in me. Now, we've read this verse our whole life, and we don't relate to that at all because we have a preconceived idea of what being born means because we're American citizens and we were born here. Well, then you're born into the kingdom of God, and no different than the Jews, the Hebrews, the Israelites, all those people that were God's people that we read about in the Old Testament, all of those people had a preconceived idea, and here in America, we have the same one. It's just a little different, but it's still a preconceived idea. We have a preconceived idea. Pastor, what are you talking about? We were all raised in America, and America is not a country that's ever been ruled by a king. I don't know if you've ever thought about that before, but when we're trying to explain the kingdom of God, we understand things from a preconceived idea. We've been raised our whole life, our parents' life, our grandparents' life, under a republic. Now, a republic is a form of government where power is held by the people and their elected representatives. Have I lost anybody or are we all on the same page? All right, good. Just nod. Now tell me you're getting it. A republic's a form of government where citizens have the supreme power and they exercise that power by how? Voting. Now we're a little concerned about that right now. But I'm not going down that path. Just, we're still in a republic. Let's vote. We vote in or we vote out based on what I want. Not pastor, I mean you and I want. So we take what we want as a person, as an individual, and we vote them in or we vote them out based on what we as an individual want. I know people that are married and the spouse will vote one way and the husband will vote one, wife will vote another. How can that happen? Because it's still an individual and they haven't understood the union of two becoming one. But we still get two votes. It's not cheating, it's just the way it is. Husband and wife both get to vote, but I know couples that vote different. Why would they do that? Because they haven't understand to come under the kingdom of God rule. We live in a republic and everybody has a choice on how to vote based on the republic. So we've set things up already just with that different. The Bible says we're one flesh. So, I mean, I just sit there and I think about it. Everything's different in the kingdom of God than it is set up here, even in a good setup. It's different. We're trying to bring God's rule here. Today, Christians ask Jesus in their heart and ask him to forgive them. The problem is the supreme power of a Christian's life still rests with them. Here in America, it's just a problem we've got. I'll decide right and wrong for me. I'll vote God in and out how I see fit. You say, well, I would never do that. We all do it. Well, Ashley, I personally believe that your beliefs are yours and I'll have mine. And today's culture just kind of accepts, and today it's okay too. And I was born to have certain desires and feelings. And the church has failed today to teach on the kingdom of God. And if we understand the kingdom of God, then there comes a point in your life where you say, it's not my will, but nevertheless, it's yours that needs to be done. See, I can't keep making me in control. I've got to make sure my life is established based on what the kingdom. We don't have an understanding of the kingdom of God in today's Christianity. We said, Jesus, I'm thanking you for dying for me. Thank you that I get to go to heaven. And then we go to the voting booth and we didn't even talk to him. We didn't ask how he'd want us to vote. Matthew 26:39, Jesus himself set a great example. He said, Father, let this cup pass from me. I don't want to do this. Just let this cup pass from me. I don't really want to drink this. I don't want this to be. But nevertheless, if it's your will, I'm going to do it. He understood life from a flesh standpoint. And he said, there are times my flesh may want something different. And if it's your will, then let it pass. But if not, my flesh will die and I'll do what you ask me to do. So just if it's your will, it's. And there are times I'm like, God, please let this be your will. Please. And I know it's not, but I'm asking anyway. And then he'll come back and he'll go, no. And I'll just tell you, I'm no different than anybody in the flesh. I have looked back and I asked that and then I did it anyway. Yeah. I voted him out. Come on, there's some people here that we voted him out. And we've got pastors moving away from the authority of Scripture. We've got pastors not teaching, I'm crucified with Christ, not your will. It has to be your will, God, not my will. But what does God say? What's the question? What does God say? What's the question? I don't know. Whatever the question is, let's find the answer in Scripture. No hope for a lost world when pastors and churches only desire more numbers, they desire bigger offerings, and they quit standing on and teaching the rule of God. We've got to teach the rule of God over his people. Remember the definition I gave you. The kingdom of God is the rule of God over his people. Now, here's the thing. He don't come on and force it. Your part in the decision is accepting his rule and getting out of operating according to your citizenship here in the United States of America. I'm not saying to rescind on your citizenship, so don't take that wrong. What I'm saying is that doesn't make my decision over the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God makes it over anything else, ever. And Jesus is saying, I've set up something for you to operate in this world, and that's to bring the kingdom of God into your life here and crucify your rule. Your rule. This is life in the kingdom of God. Our commission, church, is to bring his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Here's what I want you to be careful about. A lot of times, we think just like the disciples did, let's overtake them. Come on now. Everybody get your guns and let's go. The disciples are like, we don't even need guns. We saw what you can do. Come on, Jesus, let's go. Let's get it all back. I've watched you guys shoot here in this church. I'm thinking that some of y'all think this way every once in a while. Come on, let's go get it back. All we got to do is show up. They ain't taking this from us. And I'm not saying there aren't times for things to say, we're not dropping this. But we still operate under the Republic here in the United States of America. And we still go vote. If you don't like someone in office, go vote them out. But once you submit to a kingdom rule, you have to understand life becomes a little different. There's no doubt that you were born with feelings that start overtaking you. If you're a parent, then there are times that you have seen children's feelings take them out. Feelings, desires, wants, and you have them different than your child does, and you take them out and you try to get their feelings to get back in line. Sometimes you got to go to the other ditch to get them back in the middle of the road. They're already crying, throwing a fit, and I'm going to give you something to cry about, and you take them on down that road so that they can pull back up. Wait, I like not crying better. See, I understand that you get it. Life in my home is going to be under my rule. Come on, Mom and Dad. At an early age, we are teaching our kids that. So we kind of get the kingdom principle in that area, hopefully and prayerfully. But then we get a little further out and we start operating according to Republic, and we try to make God's kingdom operate the way the United States of America does. It don't work that way. The church hasn't taught the kingdom of God. When you ask Jesus to come in, your kingdom changes under a different rule. Are you hearing that this morning? Well, what's the kingdom of God? I want to understand it. I'm doing my best to explain it. No longer are you the king. No longer you are the ruler. Father God becomes supreme. That's who's supreme. Life is now lived in this world, but it's under a new king. It's under a king. And here's one of the great things for me. You ain't ever lived under a king. Welcome to life under a king. It's a good life. It's a good life. Now, I'm not talking about moving to a country that lives on. I'm talking about in the spirit realm. It's good to be under a different king. No longer am I in control or in rule here. See, there's two things today that are absolute first steps as we head towards and seek the kingdom of God. Number one is getting into heaven. If you're not saved, you need to know the only chance you got to not spend eternity in hell is to get saved. Jesus came back, he resurrected out of the grave, and he proved to everybody he was alive. If you don't know that he's alive and you haven't said, Father, I am thanking you that today that I am going to confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord, and I believe in my heart that God raised him out of the dead. He proved it for 40 days, and he proved it to me. And I believe it, and I confess that Jesus is Lord. I believe in my heart that God lifted him out of that grave, and I confess him as Lord and Savior, and thank you today for saving me from an eternal hell, and I have a new destination. See, that's the first thing. But the second thing is there's a requirement of a kingdom change. See, no longer are you the one ruling. Just as Christ went through the cross, you daily go through the cross. And yes, it's the cross of Jesus, but the Bible says, pick up daily your cross. You ever heard that verse? When you understand the kingdom of God, it brings the second part of this into an understanding. I'm saved, yes, but not only am I saved, I daily pick up my cross and I die to myself. And I say, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Yours be done, Father. Well, you don't know, God, how my wife just talked to me. And so she needs a good talking to. Nope, nevertheless, your will. You treat her as Christ taught and treated and loved the church. But she needs a good tongue lash. Pick up your cross daily. Die to that thought. Die to that feeling. And be under a different rule. And he set every example. Am I speaking anybody today? He set the perfect example. Daily dying to self, daily hanging yourself on the cross, daily taking up your cross and following him. I'm crucified with Christ. There is no impeaching the kingdom of God and his king. His kingdom has no beginning and no end. You're not impeaching him. Well, I'm not coming to him. You're not getting rid of him. He ain't going nowhere. You're the only one that's moving, and you're moving away from his kingdom and all the blessings that come under his kingdom. Understand, a republic form of government was established because the people have to be able to make changes in leadership. They got to. And right now we need to. Power corrupts people. Everybody here knows that. They get voted in. We've seen it in our lifetime in a very short time. People get voted in, good people. A lot of people get voted in and they're good people. And power and money corrupts them. We've seen it over and over again. So what do we do when we start seeing that? We vote them out. And there's some people in our government that need voted out. They need gone. And you need to know who they are. But here's what you also need to know. Jesus called all mankind into the kingdom of God. And his mission was not to instruct people in a better way of life, not to give clear understanding of God, and not teach how to be better people. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? Now, he did all of that. But his call for mankind was to give you the urgency of changing kingdoms. Yes, he instructed people on a better way of life. Yes, he gave clear understanding of God. Yes, he taught how to be a better person. But if that's all you got from it, you've missed his reason for coming. He came so that you could die to yourself and put him into rule. Boy, this is really, really deep. But it's so simple. Matthew 13, verse 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant on the lookout for choice pearls. When he discovered a pearl of great value, he sold everything he owned and bought it. What does that mean? He took everything that was his and that had been, he got on his own, his old thinking and everything else, and he saw the value in that pearl, and he got rid of everything else so he could put all of himself into that pearl. Jesus is your pearl. Come on. I'm getting rid of everything else that I see as valuable, and I'm putting it all in Jesus. Luke 14, 26. If you want to be my disciple, you must be, by comparison, you've got to hate everyone else. Are you kidding? The Bible teaches hate. You didn't hear the point here. Your father, mother, wife, children, brothers and sisters, even your own life. Otherwise, you can't be my disciple. What he's saying is get rid of all other rule when you join the kingdom and make sure that my kingdom is first. Seek first the kingdom of God. Mark 9, 47. And if your eye causes you to sin, get it out. Gouge it out. That's gross. That's really nasty. Are you kidding? Gouge your own eye out. If it's causing you to sin, because it's better to enter the kingdom of God with only one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into hell. If you can't control that eye, then get blind. Well, wait, he said that he came to heal the blind. Yeah, because you're seeing wrong. Quit seeing everything that's putting you under wrong rule. Are we getting this? Man, this is really, really big. Matthew 6, 33, seek first the kingdom. If you're seeking anything but the kingdom, you've missed it. You've missed it. Our church 2022 is going to learn this year our theme because we're not dropping it. And some could be really quick to go, man, we're getting real legalistic. I'm not putting you under my rule.
That's right. Yes.
But I'm asking you to put yourself under his. See, that's what the kingdom of God does. Well, I don't believe that, pastor said. If I'm off from the word, come tell me. But the word of God's just real clear. We're in a kingdom that's under the rule of God. And the king has a life for us to live. And that life is to be lived blessed, happy, fulfilled, complete, satisfied, free from guilt, free from worry. And this year can be real life changing for you. I'm telling you, the more that I've understood living under the kingdom of God, people don't offend me anymore. Are you kidding me, Pastor? You don't get offended? You don't get hurt by people? I've got hurt by a lot of people. I'm going to be the first to tell you. But Michelle and I were just talking about after being at a conference all weekend, it's just real difficult for me. The more I learn about the kingdom of God and operating and living in and walking under his rule, I don't let other people send me into frustration. The joy of the Lord is my strength, so I'm not getting that from anybody else because I'm not under anybody else's rule. Well, you're not saying you're accountable to people. I'm very much accountable to people, but I'm accountable to people because they're under the same rule that I'm under. So if I'm out of the rule of the kingdom and you're out of the rule of the kingdom, we ought to be able to, in loving ways, go over and help them because that's what Jesus did for us. He helped us out. We're under kingdom rule. 2022 will be a year where we walk in and we possess, come on church, we possess the blessings of God that are available only under his rule, not under a republic, but under the kingdom of God's rule. And that's why he sent Jesus, so we could change kingdoms. Are you excited about that? It's a good place to be. I hope that I'm able to communicate today a definition. It's the rule of God. It's the rule of God. It's not the rule of Christian Ministries Church, except for it is the rule of Christian Ministries Church as long as they're under the rule of God. But it's not our position to tell you. It's a choice you make. What rule do you want to be under? And we can make a kingdom change today. Will you stand with me?
We're so glad you joined us. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit cmchurch.net.